हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम नमो भगवते श्री दक्षिणामूर्ति स्वरूपाय श्री दयानंद रूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने परब्रह्मणे यस्माज्जातं जगत् सर्वं यस्मिन्नेव प्रलीयते येनेदं धार्यते चैव तस्मै ज्ञानात्मने नमः। ब्रह्मानंदवल्ली ब्रह्मविदा आप्नोति परम् तदेषाभ्युक्ता सत्यं ज्ञानमनन्तं ब्रह्म यो वेद निहितं गुहायां परमे व्योमन् सोऽश्नुते सर्वान् कामान् सः ब्रह्मणा विपश्चितेति। So this Brahmanandavalli, beginning with this brief statement, stating a fact that knower of Brahman accomplishes Brahma, the ultimate goal, the absolute end. Here, when the word knower of Brahman accomplish ultimate good means, the question should come, what is that Brahma, knowing which one accomplishes the ultimate in terms of Brahman itself? What is that Brahma? That what is that Brahman is not explained by this Yajurvedic Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad here in the very beginning. Therefore, in order to explain what that Brahman is, Upanishad itself presents a quotation from Rig Veda, and where the first statement is a statement of definitions. That Brahma, knowing which a person accomplishes the ultimate end, absolute goal, is satyam jnanam anantam. We understood these three words are not vyavartaka visheshanani. They are simple adjectives which describe a given object from the rest of the objects of the same species. But they are satyam jnanam anantam brahma or lakshana visheshanani, defining adjectives, or their definitions themselves, that they reveal the reality Brahma in terms of its nature. Thereby they distinguish Brahma from rest, everything else other than Brahma. This is, we understood the difference between ordinary adjectives known as vyavartaka visheshanani and the definitions or defining adjectives lakshana visheshanani. We have seen the meanings of each word. We have been seeing satyam. What is Brahma? What is, of course we understand, already as we started studying Shastram, there is absolute reality, ultimate truth. The truth, the only truth of the entirety of the cosmos, which is implied by the term Brahma. we understand there is the reality, but we do not know what exactly the reality is, how exactly it is. In discovering it, we can accomplish the ultimate. And here are the words, definitions. What is that Brahma? Kim tat Brahma? The answer is given. Satyam jnanam anantam. What is the meaning of the word Satyam? Satyam, I told you many times, means real. That which is real is Satyam. How do we derive this word? Where do we derive this? What is the root from which it is derived? As is the dhatuhu. As dhatuhu. Asti iti Satyam. Asti means what? That which exists. So that which exists is real. What is real? That which exists is real. From here, what do we understand? That which does not exist is unreal. That which exists is real. Therefore, that which does not exist is unreal. Asti iti Satyam. And what is real? Everything, anything and everything which exists is real. But anything and everything which exists, which enjoys a status of being existent as an object, is real. But according to Shastram, it's only as though real. What is absolutely real? So this word Satyam implies that which alone exists, that which is absolutely real. So absolutely real is Paramarthikam Satyam. Paramarthikam Satyam is absolutely real. Absolute reality, that which is absolutely real. So absolutely real is that which is of the nature of changelessness. That which does not change, that which is changeless is real. As they explained to you, we won't be coming back to this portion again. That's why I'm repeating today. That which does not change is real, means changeless is real. So real is that which is the nature of changelessness, means the changelessness implies beginninglessness, endlessness. Therefore, changelessness also implies what? Timelessness. Eternity. So eternity implies what? Causelessness, beginninglessness, plus causelessness. And reality, that which is absolutely real, is beginningless, endless, that which exists always changelessly. Because it is beginningless, there's no cause. Because it is causeless, it has no dependent existence. With anything which is in effect has dependent existence. Here, this that which is absolutely real is beginningless, therefore causeless, therefore has no dependent existence, has independent existence. It has independent existence means what? It is existence. Why does it exist? Being existent is its very nature. Therefore, that which is real, absolutely real, is that which exists always beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently. What is that which exists always beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly? Which is pure existence. So Satyam is Sat. And Sat is pure existence. It is pure existence which is there always, which has no beginning, which has no end, doesn't undergo any changes. What is that existence? What is pure existence? We have to understand. What we are trying to understand, what is the implied lakshyartha, implied meaning of the word Satyam. Understanding the word meanings, we have to understand what exactly is that pure existence implied by the term Satyam. Then, that which is real is also cause. Because with reference to anything and everything in this world, as a product, I looked at, the cause is real, the effect is mithya. Cause is real means cause is not dependent on the effect for its existence, but effect is dependent on the cause for its existence. The cause is real, satyam, effect is mithya. Therefore, and here, this what is implied by the word satyam happens to be that which is real. Therefore, the Brahman is real means Brahman is the cause, absolute. As they said, the causeless, uncaused, absolute cause of the entirety of the universe. When we say it is cause, any cause must undergo changes. But here, Brahman is not. Brahman implied by the term this Satyam, in terms of its nature of existence, is not a cause, it is changeless, it is subject to change. It's a cause of the universe, but still it is not subject to change. Because it is not a relative cause, it's an absolute cause. At the same time, any cause must be inert also, but this Brahman, the implied with the term Satyam, is not even inert. Because the following definition, jnanam, negates that pure existence, which alone is real, which is beginningless, endless, changeless, which is independent, is not inert. Because it is of the nature of jnanam. We understood this also. Again, the word jnanam, we understood very clearly, does not mean any of the accessories associated with the action. Therefore, it is not subject of knowledge, it is not object of knowledge, it is not knowledge, instrument of knowledge, it is not even knowledge of an object. But it is the bhavasadhanaha jnanashabdaha. What is bhavasadhanaha? That which obtains as the existence of the knower known and knowledge. That which obtains with the surubham of all the three is what? Jnanam. For jnanam, what is implied, meaning of the, what is implied by the word jnanam is janati iti jnanam. Asti iti satyam, janati iti jnanam. That which knows is jnanam. That which knows is jnanam means that which is of the nature of knowing. So here, this reality is implied by the term jnanam in terms of its surupam, nature of knowing. This pure knowledge. Puja Swamiji always preferred the word pure knowledge to even consciousness. Pure knowledge. Jnanam Brahma. Then, so here, the word jnanam cannot mean the knower, cannot mean the known. If it is taken to be knower or known also, it will that be the problem of being limited. Because the following word anantam, which means reveals reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Brahman is of the nature of limitlessness. What is Brahma? That which is of the nature of limitlessness is Brahma. That's what is implied by the word anantam. If it is, Brahman is limitless, then it cannot be the knower jnata, or it cannot be the known, it cannot be any of the, anything associated with any of the karakas. The word anantam also negates that. This is how these three words are mutually complementary, though all of them are directly revealing the reality in terms of its nature of pure existence, pure knowledge, and limitlessness. So you've seen here we had yesterday the doubt of Purupakshi. Okay, Brahman cannot be the knower, cannot be the known. Is it possible to take Brahman to be both knower and the known? Ubhayata, that's what we read yesterday. So Shankara Bhagavatpada said, no. Brahman is not anything. Brahman is not the knower, no knowledge. We understand. But why can't we take Brahman as knower and known? The knower is also Brahma, known is also Brahma. Of course, the knower is Brahma, the known is Brahma, knowledge is Brahma. Brahman is not anything. Brahma is very surupam of everything. The knower, no knowledge. So, Purupakshi's doubt was, Yatrutvena, Yeyatvena, Ubhayatacha. Why can't we take Brahman as both? The Sankarabhagavatpada's answer was given, no. Niramshatvat. As what is in the reality implied by the term Brahman is one indivisible, undivided, partless whole. It cannot be both simultaneously, the knower as well as the known. Because there must be partfulness. There must be parts. There must be limbs. Then it is possible for one individual to be both the subject of action and the object of action. But here Brahman happens to be of the nature of partlessness. One indivisible, undivided, partless whole, like space. Even space being indivisible, undivided, partless, even Brahman cannot be divided. Brahman is indivisible. The space is indivisible. Therefore, Brahman being partless, it is not possible for Brahman to be both the knower and the known. That was such a simple answer was given. Then, finally he said, Shankara Bhagavatpada concluded the point saying, if this absolute reality implied by the term Brahman has a status of being known like any other object like pot, etc., then this jnana upadesham itself would have become anartha, anartha. That would have been anarthakyam, jnanopadesha anarthakyam syat. There would have been the meaningless, this the whole shastram playing the role of a pramanam would be meaningless. And this knowledge of the object matter of the shastram also would be meaningless. Because Brahman has been the absolute reality implied by the word Brahman is presented by all the Upanishads uniformly as something to be known, something to be discovered. And Shastram has the unique status of being a pramanam for this Brahman. Again, what cannot be revealed by any other pramanam in a pramanam should be revealed by a given pramanam. If any given pramanam has the status of being the pramanam, the pramanyam it enjoys, because what is revealed by the given pramanam cannot be revealed by any other pramanam. Este also explained this. Therefore, he said, the Shastram has been accepted as the Pramanam, as a valid means of knowledge of this reality, Brahma. When the Shastra Pramanam, consisting of words, when it is operated properly, in terms of the words of the Shastram are handled very carefully, by a sampradaya with the teacher in the class, definitely the words should reveal what Brahman is. Words do reveal what Brahman is, but it takes its own time. How gradually the penny drops, how one discovers what exactly is revealed by word Brahma. Therefore, Jnana Upadeshaha, Jnana Upadeshaha, is imparting of this knowledge. The teaching, the subject matter of the Shastram, is definitely Arthavan, is highly meaningful, purposeful, because Brahman is not something like which can be known like any object like part. So all that we understood yesterday, and today towards the end we saw when he also concludes saying, if Brahman again has his status of being known as Purupakshi says, then it cannot have the status, it cannot be the meaning implied by the word Anantam. Brahman cannot have limitlessness as its Swarupam if Brahman has the status of being known. Therefore, being known means being limited. The Anantam, Brahman has the status of being limitless. Limitlessness as its nature. Therefore, definitely, Jnatrutvam, Brahman does not have, Brahman is not an object. Again, gradually, Shankara Bhagavatpada went back to the word Satyam and he really reminded us of the meaning of the word, the implied meaning of the word Satyam being existence, Sat. Satyasya, Satya Shabdasya, Artha Sat. Existence is the meaning of the word Satyam. And which he reminded us with the quotation from Chandogya Upanishad. Sanmatram cha Satyam, Tat Satyam. All this we have seen exactly yesterday. And here, specifically, this word Jnanam happens to be here as a defining word along with other definitions. Defining words Satyam and Anantam. The word Jnanam definitely implies the reality, reveals the reality in terms of its nature of pure knowledge, which is the swarupam of knower known knowledge. So, jnana shabdasya prayogat bhavasadhanaha. Jnana shabdasya prayogaha kutra asti. Where is this word jnana shabda? Where is this word jnanam used? It is used as the defining word of Brahman along with other two definitions, defining words, Satyam and Anantam. Therefore, in the context where it is used as a definition along with other two powerful words, Satyam and Anantam, definitely this word jnanam is bhava sadhanaha. It is, it implies pure knowledge, the swarupam of knower known knowledge. Okay, this much we have understood yesterday. So the word jnanam brahma, it is, why the word jnanam brahma is, why the word jnanam is used here as definition? To remove the karakatvam superimposed upon Brahma. And also the inertness of any material cause such as clay, etc., superimposed upon Brahma. The material cause of the universe is Brahma, but still Brahman is not inert like clay, etc. So, Brahman is the cause of the universe. At the same time, Brahman is not associated with any of the karakas such as subject of action, object of action, etc. So, to negate, remove that, this word jnanam is here used. This also, jnanam brahmeti kartrutvadi karaka nivrutyartam mridadi vat achidrupata nivrutyartam cha prayujyate. All this we have seen while we came to the analysis of the word anantam brahma. Am I correct? Am I too fast? Just to remind you. Okay. Jnanam brahmeti vachanat praptam antavatvam. When you say jnanam brahma iti vachanat, because of this expression jnanam brahma, because of this statement, tiny sentence, having two words, jnanam brahma, what happened now? Antavatvam praptam. It is limitation. Status of being limited has been got as a meaning. Therefore, why? Because laukikasya jnanasya antavatva darshanat. This is the new lesson today, isn't it? We have to start from here. Okay. Jnanam brahma iti vachanat praptam. Jnanam brahma iti vachanat kim praptam. What has been arrived at? As we have this sentence, jnanam brahma. Antavatvam praptam. Antavatvam. Antavatvam means what? Having the status of being limited. Having the status of being subject to limitation has been got as the meaning by a sentence, jnanam brahma. Why? Because already it has been explained very clearly. Still he says, laukikasya jnanasya antavatva darshanat. See, laukikam jnanam means what? Knowledge of any object which forms part of the world is what? Laukikam jnanam. So, knowledge pertaining to any of the worldly object is what? Laukikam jnanam. Loka vishaya jnanam is laukikam jnanam. Knowledge of anything pertaining to the worldly object is what? Laukikam jnanam. Except atma jnanam, any piece of knowledge is laukikam jnanam only. Except atma jnanam, except brahma jnanam, knowledge of anything and everything is what? Laukikam jnanam. The laukikam jnanam is what? Vritti jnanam. It's a manifest knowledge which rises in the muff of thought, which comes and goes. And that knowledge of any object being different from the knower and the known is subject to limitation, isn't it? Knowledge of any object being different from the knower and the known is what? Subject to limitation. Because limited by is different. Knowledge is different from the knower. Knowledge is different from the known. And being different from something else means what? Being limited. Subject to limitation. Therefore, he says, laukikasya jnanasya antavatva darshanat. As there is always this understanding, as there's always this understanding that knowledge of anything pertaining, knowledge of a worldly object has limitation, subject to limitation, being different from, being limited by other two, the knower and the known. Ataha, therefore, tan nivrutyartham aha. In order to tan nivrutyartham, for the purpose of eliminating that limitation superimposed upon Brahma. Upanishads use another term, anantam. Yes, Brahman is of the nature of knowing. Brahman is that which knows. Brahman, this absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, is that which knows. That which is of the nature of knowing. But it is not like vritti jnanam, it is anantam. Anantam. Anantam iti aha. It is limitless. The reality implied by the term Brahman is anantam, limitless in its nature. It is not any vritti jnanam. It is not the knowledge which arises from a thought pertaining to any object which is subject to limitation. Understand? So Brahman is not a vritti jnanam. This is jnanam. In this expression jnanam Brahma, the word jnanam does not mean the knowledge of an object which is subject to limitation. Understand? Already it has been negated. What has been negated? Jnanam does not mean knower. Jnanam does not mean the known. But now it is made very clear. Jnanam can mean any knowledge, vritti jnanam, knowledge of any object which is in the form of a thought. But here, any knowledge is subject to limitation. But here, in order for the purpose of eliminating that understanding, that this jnanam used here as definition of Brahman does not mean the knowledge of an object subject to limitation. Because what is implied by the term jnanam is limitless. For that sake, the word anantam is used here to state that reality is limitless. Tannivrityartham aha. Ataha, therefore, tannivrityartham, for the purpose of eliminating that idea, understanding, tad means what? Tannivritti means what? That understanding, that any knowledge is subject to limitation in this world. That not just vritti jnana, but Brahman is not, Brahman does not mean, the word jnanam does not mean the vritti jnanam is subject to limitation. Okay? Therefore, the word anantam, Upanishad used another word, anantam iti aha. Upanishad said, this jnanam, Brahma, is also anantam. It is not antavatti jnanam. Jnanam is not antavatti jnanam. It's not that knowledge which is subject to limitation, but it is anantam jnanam. It is limitless knowledge. Understand? Is it clear? Okay, now we enter into the next part. Very briefly, he finished anantam. But we are going to elaborately understand the meanings of these three words again later on. Okay. Again, here the Purupakshi comes with a doubt. Okay. Let us see what Purupakshi is going to say. What he says in this, before I go to the, I read the actual commentary bhashyam, let me make it very clear. See, satyam, jnanam, anantam. These words have their own lakshyartha. Each word has its own lakshyartha. The implied meaning of the word satyam is pure existence, which is real, changeless reality. So satyam implies that which is changeless, that which exists changelessly. That which exists changelessly is what? Satyam. this implied many. Therefore, this word satyam negates what it does, negates everything else in this world, including time and space, is subject to change. The entirety of the world of objects, which exists within the realm of time and space, is subject to change. There's nothing which is not subject to change here. Anything and everything here in this world being subject to change. The word satyam negates also what? Everything else. The entire objective universe, including time and space, becomes negated as abrahma, not brahma. The objective universe is not brahma, including time and space. Why? Everything is subject to brahma, subject to time, subject to change. Everything is subject to change. Okay. Then, what about the jnanam? The word jnanam also. The lakshyartha of the word jnanam is what? Pure knowledge. So, asti iti satyam, janati iti jnanam. The reality is implied by the term jnanam, defined by the word jnanam, because it knows. Why does it know? Knowing is its nature. So that which is of the nature of knowledge is jnanam. It is pure knowledge. And this word also negates everything else in the world which is of the nature of inertness. Why? Because there's nothing in the world which is of the nature of knowing other than the reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. Everything else in this world happens to be the object of knowledge. The whole jagat can reduce to one word, jnayam, the known. Jagat is jnayam. That which is known is jnayam. Anything which is known is inert. Therefore, there's nothing in the world which is of the nature of knowing. Everything in the world is of the nature of inertness. Therefore, the entire object, the world of objects, being the nature of inertness, not Brahma. So the word jnanam negates the objective universe as non-Brahma. So these words reveal what Brahman is not also. That's why this any definition, any word used by the Shastram to reveal the reality, not only those words reveal the reality in terms of its nature, they also negate what the reality is not. They also reveal what the reality is not. But by negating what it is not, by stating what it is not, it also reveals reality, distinguishes the reality. Sort of to exclude the reality from the rest of everything else, thereby to distinguish it from everything else, they also reveal what Brahman is not. So the entire objective universe, Brahman is not anything in this objective universe because the entire universe is of the nature of inertness. So negation, does the negation also, negation of what Brahman is not. Then take the word anantam. So this word anantam reveals the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. We wait to understand elaborately the meaning of this word anantam. If reality is the nature of limitlessness, then everything in this universe is subject to limitations. Time limitations, spatial limitation, object limitation, except space. Space is free from spatial limitation. Except space, including time, everything is subject to time limitation, object limitations, and spatial limitations. There's no object in this world which is not subject to threefold limitations. So you can say the entirety of the objective universe is subject to threefold limitations. Therefore, what? Everything is limited in this world. And Brahman is the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, the limitless reality implied by the term Sat Anantam Brahma is not anything in this world. So the reality which is of the nature of knowing implied by the term Jnanam Brahma is not anything in this world which is of the nature of inertness. So the world, the absolute reality, Brahma implied by the term Satyam, the changeless reality is not anything of in this world which is subject to change. Therefore, Brahman, these three words exclude Brahman from the world and distinguishes Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman, from everything else, thereby it is not anything in the world. You understand? Brahman is not anything in this world. Now here, okay, each word reveals reality in terms of its given nature of changeless reality, changeless pure existence, changeless existence, pure knowledge, and limitlessness. It also negates what Brahman is not. Still, these three words do not reveal Brahman for us. Even though we understand the meaning as pure knowledge, as pure existence, as limitlessness, as implied meaning of these three words, still we do not understand what Brahman is. And here Pura Pakshi gives an example also. He uses this example, Nilotpalam. Nilotpalam, the blue lily. When you say there is a blue lily, the word blue, an adjective, distinguishes the lily from lilies of other colors, that's okay. And this blue color being inseparable, non-separate from that specific lily, being available for a perception experience, it reveals that flower. The blue color brings to light that lily in blue color. It distinguishes the lily from lilies of other colors, other shapes and sizes, but it reveals that specific lily in blue color. It should reveal, it should bring to light. It's there, very much there. The blue color is very much there as inseparable from the substantive lily. It reveals. Let's take another example. In that group of 10 men, the tall man is Krishna, if you say. The tallness of the person, the tall person, Krishna, becomes distinguished from the group of 10 men who are not as tall as him. And he, the tallness being inseparable, the adjective tall, in the form of tallness of the person, being inseparable from that substantive, reveals that person. Oh, this is the tall person. It reveals, distinguishes from the rest of the group of men. And it reveals. So adjective being inseparable from the substantive it reveals. But here, what do these words do? These defining adjectives, lakshana viseshanani, satyam jnanam anantam, even though we got beautifully the meanings derived from the roots, the root meanings, asti iti satyam, janati iti jnanam, we understood. But what do they reveal? What is the word changeless existence, changeless real reality? What does it reveal? Or pure knowledge, what does it reveal? It doesn't reveal anything. One thing is very clear, these words negated the entire world of objects as non-Brahma, non-reality. Don't negate, don't reveal anything, which means there's nothing which is revealed positively by these three words. But the entire objective universe has been negated, becomes negated as non-reality. What Brahman is not is revealed. What exactly Brahman is doesn't become clear. Therefore, in such a situation, it makes us think what? Such a thing does not exist at all. It is possible for us to mistake the reality to be non-existent. If you conclude, come to the conclusion such a thing doesn't exist at all, such a thing does not exist at all, means what? You can say such a thing is shunyam, non-existent. And who can be the Purupakshi here? Definitely, Shunyavadi, isn't it? So now, here comes the Purupakshi. Let me read now commentary here. Satyadinam anrutadi dharma nivritti paratvad viseshya cha viseshyasya brahmanaha utpaladivat aprasiddhatvad. Let me explain this first. Satyadinam andhratadi dharma nivritti paratvat. What he says? A Purupakshi's view. These words, satyam jnanam anantam. Satyadinam means what? Of these words, satyam jnanam anantam, that is, paratvam. Paratvam is what? There's priority of these words. There's a purpose of the priority of these words is in eliminating, negating all other objects which are of the attributes dharma nivritti paratvat. Dharma nivritti means what? Eliminating the objects of attributes such as mithya, etc. which are opposed to the nature of Brahma. Satyadinam andhratadi dharma nivritti paratvam asti. Let me break the sentence. all these three words, satya, satyam, etc., have the priority of negating the objects of various attributes which are opposed to, such as anrutam, etc., which are opposed to the nature of Brahma. Is it clear? So anrutam is only one attribute. Mithyatvam. Anrutam mithya. So satyam itself is anything which is subject to change is an attribute. Subject to change is an attribute here. The nature. Therefore, they are of the priority of negating the objects with attributes which are opposed to the nature of Brahma. Okay. Therefore, what? Viseshasya cha Brahmanaha. Here, Viseshyam is Brahma. The substantive which is to be revealed by these three words is Brahma. So, these three words, the defining words, satya, satyam, jnanam, anantam, these three words have the priority of negating the objects with various attributes such as anrutam, etc., which are opposed to the nature of the substantive Brahma. Is it clear? Say, here the Purapakshi is not able to see what is positively revealed by these words. He is able to understand what is negatively conveyed by these words. What is negatively conveyed, what Brahman is not, is made clear. But he is not able to see what is positively conveyed by, revealed by these words. It's natural, no? If what is revealed by these words positively, Brahman is revealed, then it will be very easy. It's not easy, isn't it? Therefore, they see once, it's possible for them to understand, okay, Brahman is not anything in the Jagat. That is very clear for them. Brahman is not what the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman is not anything in the Jagat. That is very clear. How? Because these three words excluded Brahman from the world. Why? Everything in the world is subject to change. Brahman is that which is not subject to change. Everything in this world is innate. Brahman is of nature of knowledge. Everything in this world is subject to limitations. But Brahman is not subject to limitations. Brahman is limitless. Therefore, these three words excluded Brahman from the world, distinguished Brahman from the world. That's okay. So, they negate these words, what now? Negated the entire objective universe as non-reality, non-Brahma. They understood what is negatively conveyed by the words. They could not see what is positively revealed by these words. They cannot. Therefore, what is the conclusion they can arrive at easily? He also gives an example. Utpaladivat aprasiddhatvat. The first reason is what? The Purapakshi gives many some reasons here. Utpaladivat aprasiddhatvat. See, this Brahman is not very easily, clearly revealed, well known, like lily, etc. When adjective is used to distinguish the lily adjective reveals the lily. Utpaladivate aprasiddhatvat. As Brahman is not clearly known like any other substantive like lily, etc. Because it's two reasons. Okay. What are the two reasons he gives? All these three words, such as satyam, etc., have the priority of negating the objects of various attributes such as anuttam, etc. The opposed to the nature of Brahma. They only reveal what Brahman is not. And these words, defining words, do not reveal the visesham Brahma, like how other adjectives of lily, etc., reveal the substantives like lily. Utpaladivat aprasiddhatvat. Two reasons. See, any adjective, when it describes a person, describes an object, definitely distinguishes the object from the objects of its species, its kind, its group, then it reveals that object. Whereas these, they distinguish from the rest of the world, but they don't really reveal. Okay, Brahman is not, is very clear, the distinguished Brahma. So Brahman is not anything in the world. But what exactly that Brahman, they don't reveal. So what is positively revealed by the words is not known. What is negatively conveyed alone is understood. Because of these reasons, and he says, he gives his own example to say how description of a non-existent thing cannot reveal anything. Description of a non-existent thing cannot reveal anything because it's non-existent. So he, according to Purapakshi, these three definitions are meaningless. Why? They do not reveal anything. They describe something which is non-existent. According to Purapakshi, these three words describe, try to reveal something which is non-existent. Which means Brahman is not really there. This is Shunyavada. Understand? So what is the example he gives? It's a very interesting example. Mrigatrishnam bhasisnataha. Mrigatrishnam bhasisnataha. Kaf pushpakrita shekharaha. Yeshaha. These two are adjectives. What are they, two adjectives? Mrigatrishnam bhasisnataha is an adjective describing a non-existent person. Kapushpa krita shekaraha, adjective number 2. Adjective number 3. Shashashringa dhanurdharaha. 3, he also gives to state the 3, vhatyam, jnanam, anantam. These 3 words actually try to reveal something which is non-existent. So he also gives 3 words, 3 examples, okay, 3 descriptions. Mrigatrishnambasisnataha, kapushpakrita shekharaha, shashashringa dhanurdharaha, 3 adjectives. And the 3 adjectives describe a person. And who is this person? He says, yeshaha vandhyasutaha yati. Vandhya putraha or vandhya sutaha. So vandhya means a barren woman who never delivered a baby, never gave birth to a baby son. Vandhya, vandhya. So vandhya putraha yati means what? Son of a barren woman, yati gacchati, he goes. This son of a barren woman goes. And how does he look? Mrigatrishnambasis nataha. He had his dip, he had his snana, had his bath where? In mirage water. Mrigatrishnambas means mirage water. Why mirage water in Sanskritam is called Mrigatrishnambas? Because always mirage water is mistaken to be real water by the deer in the forest. The poor Mrigaha means deer here. Even though the word Mrigaha means any animal, Mrigaha specifically means deer. So deers in the forest, they see from distance the sand and they which look like an illusion that there's water. Mistaking the mirage water to be real water, they run after this water. They keep on running and as they run, again the mirage water also looks distant. They run after mirage water thinking it's water is there. Finally, they end up in death, not being able to drink it, being able to quench their thirst. Therefore, mirage water, mrigatrishna ambas. Ambaha means water, trishna means thirst. Mriga means deer. So the mirage water, which is mistaken to be water to quench the thirst by the deers, is said to be Mrigatrishnambas. And here, Mrigatrishnambas is snataha. This Vandhyaputraha, the son of a barren woman who never gave birth to a son, okay, this Vandhyaputraha goes, having had bath in the mirage water. And kafpushpa krita shekharaha. And having sky flower on his head. Kafpushpa krita shekharaha. Having his head decked with sky flower. Is it possible to have sky as a flower? Everything is impossible, he uses the description. Then, Shashashringa Dhanuddharaha, as the one holding the bow made of rabbit's horn. Rabbit doesn't have a horn. Again, Tal Tuchyam, isn't it? Tal, absolutely non-existent. Vandhyaputra is non-existent. Bow made of rabbit's horn is non-existent. And having one's head decked with the sky flower is again non-existent. And it's impossible to have bath in what? The mirage water. So all absolutely non-existent things he mentioned here. So Vandhyaputraha is a substantive. And the rest of the three words are what now? Three words are descriptions of this Vandhyaputraha, the non-existent person. So, Mrigatrishnambasis nataha, kaf pushpakrita shekharaha, shashashringa dharadharaha, Vandhyaputraha yeshaha yati. The son of a barren woman goes, having a bath in the mirage water, having got his head decked with sky flower, as the one holding the bow made of rabbit's horn. So this description cannot really reveal somebody who is existent, isn't it? Just as these three descriptions cannot bring to light someone who is existent. It is impossible. Such a person cannot exist at all. Like this. Itivat means like this. Like this. Shunyartata yeva prapta. ശൂന്യാർത്ഥതാ ഏവ പ്രാപ്ത. ബ്രഹ്മൻ ഹാവിംഗ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റസ് ഓഫ് ബീങ് നോൺ എക്സിസ്റ്റന്റ് അലോൺ ഹാസ് ബീൻ അറൈവ്ഡ് അറ്റ് ശൂന്യ അർത്ഥത ശൂന്യാർത്ഥത ഏവ പ്രാപ്ത. ദിസ് റിയാലിറ്റി റിവീൽഡ് ബൈ ദി റിയാലിറ്റി ബ്രഹ്മ റിവീൽഡ് ബൈ ദി സ്ത്രീ സത്യം ജ്ഞാനം അനന്തം ഹാവിംഗ് ദി സ്റ്റേറ്റസ് ഓഫ് ബീങ് നോൺ എക്സിസ്റ്റന്റ് അലോൺ ഹാസ് ബീൻ അറൈവ്ഡ് അറ്റ് ശൂന്യാർത്ഥത ഏവ പ്രാപ്ത. സത്യാദിവാക്യസ്യ സത്യാദിവാക്യസ്യ ഓഫ് ദിസ് സെന്റൻസ് ഹാവിംഗ് ദിസ് ത്രീ ഡിഫൈനിങ് അബ്ജക്റ്റീവ്സ് സത്യം എക്സെട്ര ദ മീനിങ് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റുഡ് ഈസ് What now? Non-existence. So Brahman, having the status of being non-existent alone, has been arrived at. As the meaning of conveyed by these words satyam etc which means such a thing implied by the term brahma that which does not change that which is of the nature of existence that which is of the nature of pure knowledge that which is limitless doesn't exist isn't So, satyadi vakyasya sunyarthata eva prapta. Shunyam itself means what? Non-existent. Sunyarthata eva prapta. The meaning revealed by meaning of these words such as satyam etc., has a status of being non-existent alone has been arrived at. Which means what is implied by the term Brahma defined by these three words is non-existent. Why? It is not available for experience, understanding at all. Nilotpalam means immediately Nilotpalam reveals Nilot, blue lily, distinguishing it from rest of the everything else, rest of the lilies. Fat woman, fat man, immediately that adjective distinguishes that person from other people who are of opposite attributes and reveals that person. Adjectives would bring to light that what is revealed by it, isn't it? But satyam jnanam anantam, pure existence, changeless reality, pure knowledge, limitless vastu, these words do not reveal anything as inseparable attributes. Therefore, shunyartata eva prapta, satyam jnanam anantam, three words. So he also gives three descriptions of a non-existent person. Vandhyaputraha, non-existent son, undelivered son, never begotten son. So mrigatrishnam bhasisnataha, kaf pushpa krita shekharaha, shashasringa dhanuddharaha, ഏഷഹ വന്ധ്യാപുത്രഹ യാതി ഇതിവത് ലൈക് ദിസ് ഹിയർ ദ സബ്സ്റ്റാൻറ്റീവ് What is implied by the substantive? Vandhyaputra is non-existent. And the description also, the three adjectives describing this person, the three descriptions of that non-existent person also what? Reveal the person being non-existent. Itivati, like this, in this manner. Satyadi vakyasya chunyarthata eva prapta. This defining statement consisting of definition, satyam, etc., also has the status of revealing something non-existent. Iti chet. So Shankara Bhagavatpada takes it. If this is what is the understanding of a person who is very happy to say nothingness is reality, then the Shankara Bhagavatpada has to give an answer. What is the answer? No, not at all. Lakshanarthatvat. No, satyadi vakyasya shunyartata nasti. So this sentence having these three defining words, satyam, jnanam, anantam, this sentence has no the meaning of non-existence. The sentence does not have the meaning, does not reveal something non-existent. No, na. Why? Lakshanarthatvat. That sentence, that one statement, having three definitions, satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. Satyam, jnanam, anantam, that sentence has the status of being defining that which alone exists. Lakshanam means defining. Lakshanarthatvam asti. Vakyasya lakshanarthatvam asti. The sentence has the status of defining something which alone exists. It defines. There cannot be a definition of something which does not exist. The definition of something is given. The definition must be of something which exists only. And these three words, the sentence having these three definitions, a sentence of definitions, definitely has the status of defining something which alone exists. Therefore, what? They do not reveal something non-existent. They do not that reveal something non-existent. Viseshanatve api, satyadinam, lakshanartha pradhanyam, iti avochama. Now, Shankara Bhagavatpada remains the Purupakshi. Avochama. Hey, come on. Already we explained this. Already I explained this. We explained this means what? I explained this already. How did I explain? Visheshanatvepi. Though these words such as satyam, etc., have the status of being the definite, the adjectives, still lakshanartha pradhanyam. They are the priority of defining. They're meant for defining the reality. The importance is for defining. Lakshanartha pradhanyam. Lakshanartha pradhanyam means they are of the priority of defining the reality. They are primarily for the purpose of defining. Lakshanartha pradhanyam. Visheshanatve api. Even though these three words have the status of being adjectives describing the reality Brahma, still they are not simple adjectives. Simple adjectives which distinguish the substantives, they are primarily for the purpose of defining. Defining the vastu, defining the reality implied by the term Brahma. Iti avocham. Already we explained the difference between ordinary adjectives and the definitions. Okay, first he says, okay, when these words are presented as definitions, the definitions cannot be presented of some, definitions cannot be of something non-existent. Definitions always definitely must be of something existent only. Is it clear? Then, shunyehi lakshye. Anarthakam lakshana vachanam. Suppose the lakshyam, what is to be defined if or when, what is to be defined is non-existent. Lakshyehi shunye or shunyehi lakshye. If what is to be defined is non-existent, shunya means non-existent, then lakshana vachanam anarthakam. The words, the defining words are meaningless. Lakshana vachanam anarthakam. The word of definition will be meaningless if what is defined is non-existent. If what is defined is non-existent, then definition will be meaningless. Therefore, there is a lakshyam which is existent, which alone exists. So the definition is of something which really exists. Definition is not of something which does not exist. Is it clear? Okay. Lakshanarthatvat manyamahe na shunyarthata iti. It is manyamahe. We firmly consider. We firmly understand. Lakshanarthatvat. Lakshanarthatvat. As these three words have the status of being the definitions of reality. Definitions, definitely, they do not have shunyartata. They do not have the meaning of non-existence. See, the word manyamahe, manyate, manyate, manyante, manyamahe means what? We do firmly consider that lakshanarthatvat, as these three words have the status of being the definitions, they do not reveal something which is non-existent. They do not have something non-existent as their meaning. Which means what is implied by the term Brahman is not non-existent. Again, next important answer he gives. Purapakshi saw only one thing. What Purapakshi saw? In Purapakshi's view, these three words only do the negation. These three words, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, these three words only state, only reveal what Brahman is not negatively. They do not reveal what exactly Brahman is positively. This is the view of Purapakshi. But Shankara Bhagavatpada says, each word, Satyam, of course negates what Brahman is not, but first it reveals the reality in terms of its nature. Each word has its own meaning. Each word has its own meaning as the nature of Brahma. I have not gone to the paragraph. I'm just telling you. So what Purapakshi did not see, what Shankara Bhagavatpada sees. Purapakshi only sees that these words only state what Brahman is not. So the whole world becomes negated as non-Brahma, non-reality. Because the words, the meaning of the words do not fit anything in this world. Changeless is reality. Everything here is subject to change. Pure consciousness is reality. Pure knowledge is reality. Everything here is inert. Limitless, that which is limitless is reality. Everything here is subject to limitations. Therefore, the meaning of these three words, the implied meaning of these three words do not fit anything in this world. Purapakshi sees only this much. What Purapakshi does not see? What is positively revealed as the nature of the reality, Purapakshi does not see. Not only Purapakshi, we also don't see. We wait to see, but we are hoping to see. Purapakshi made a conclusion. No, it is not there. And he gives the example. Any adjective reveals that object, being inseparable from the object. Any description reveals the object. These three words do not reveal anything. Whereas Shankara Bhagavatpada says, no, each word positively reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. Then it also negates what the reality is not. Each word negates the world that Brahman is not anything in the world. At the same time, before negating, each word reveals reality in terms of its given nature also. Positively, each word positively reveals the reality in terms of its nature. It also negates what reality is not from the standpoint of the nature. But what is that which is positively revealed by that, by each word? That we have yet to arrive at. Before even arriving at it, we should not make conclusion. We should, this understanding should give us this strength. What now? Yes, there is reality, absolute reality. And the reality is of this nature. We have to arrive at the reality in terms of its nature. How we can arrive at the reality in terms of that nature? How we can arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of changelessness, in terms of its nature of pure knowledge, in terms of its nature of limitlessness? How we can arrive at it? That must be the question. Instead of asking how we can arrive at the reality in terms of that nature, oh, such a thing doesn't exist at all. And also very, giving very beautiful example also. Is not right. Means he only sees once. Okay. The negated meaning is understood. The revealed meaning is not understood. Therefore Shankaracharya says, Visheshanarthatvepi. Visheshanarthatvepi cha satyadinam swartha parityagaha. Swartha aparityagaha eva. Swartha parityagaha eva. I'm going to stop now. Very important lesson. I had to explain very clearly. Swartha parityagaha eva means what? Swa artha aparityagaha eva. There is definitely non-giving up of its own meaning. The no word gives up its own meaning. Swa artha aparityagaha eva. Each word, satyam, jnanam, anantam, swa, there is swa artha aparityagaha. There is non-giving up of its own meaning of each word, satyam, etc. Even though they have the status of being the definitions. Visheshanarthatvepi. Visheshanarthatvepi. Even though these satyam, jnanam, anantam, these three words, which are definitions, having the status of being adjectives, still there is non-giving up of its own, the meaning of, own meaning of each word, satyam, etc. This is the literal translation. What does it mean? each word does not give up its own meaning. What is exactly implied by each word? It's not given up. That meaning is retained. That meaning is revealed. The implied meaning of each word is revealed, not given up. So revealing its own implied meaning, each word also negates what reality is not. It does two things, okay? It reveals the reality. Each word reveals the reality in terms of its given nature. It also negates from the standpoint of that nature what reality is not. Just both. Understand? Okay, I'll stop here. Was this class today clear? See, sometimes, see, the language used in tradition, the traditional acharyas, is such a way, it's not that the lot of noun forms they use. So when we try to translate them directly, you can't translate them. If you try to translate also, what happens? You won't get it. Understand? So Purapakshi's limitation you have to see. But I tell you how exactly, how beautiful. Swamiji loves negating this Shunyavadi, okay? Loves means he joins. He enjoys how Shankara Bhagavatapada negates them. Isn't it? So we'll see that, all that will next following classes. So by the time we complete this first mantra meaning, by the time we go to the next sentence, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. You would have understood so thoroughly. Only one day I want to spend a little time to make you understand the Bhashyam style. This is a little grammatical, okay? Which I'll do in the class. Want before I start the class. So then you will know how to get the meanings. One more thing he's going to say, if a word does not have its own meaning, it is not possible for the word to negate something, isn't it? Without having its own meaning, how can it negate something else? I mean, there is a meaning. Each word has its own meaning. No word gives up its own meaning. There is no aparityagaha at all. Sva artha aparityagaha nasti. There is aparityagaha asti. Parityagaha na. Swartha parityagaha nasti. Swartha parityagaha nasti. Swartha aparityagaha. Each word retains its meaning. Each word reveals its own, the meaning. What is implied by that word that is revealed first. Only then it negates what the reality is not. If changelessness being the nature of the Atma is not revealed by the word Satyam, how can it negate the world of objects which is subject to change? Is it clear? If the pure knowledge being the implied meaning of the word Jnanam is not revealed, how can it negate the world of inert objects as non-reality? The word Anantam does not reveal the implied meaning of limitlessness. How can we negate the world of objects subject to limitations as non-reality? Negation itself is possible because each word has its own implied meaning. Each word does reveal the implied meaning. So it does not give up its implied meaning. It does reveal. Then it also negates what Brahman is not. Okay. This is what Shankaracharya says first. Then what? How he continues, we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnah Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.